Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Yo, Rocco. What's up, Rocco? I know Rocco's tuning in from Connecticut. But listen, how are you all doing? What's going on? How are you all doing? Instead of, how are you doing? How are you all doing? I think that's going to be my new thing. But anyway, how are you? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. Let me know. Here's the deal. Together, people, let's have fun. Let's take life to the max, like I always say. The holidays are here. I have a note to remind you, just in case you didn't know. But yes, the holidays are like among us. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. How overwhelming. But listen, here's the story. If you're Davis, we reached out to him, so hopefully I just pulled the Barbara Walters. I said, Warwick Davis, we reached out to him. We did reach out to him. And hopefully he'll come on the show soon. But truly an amazing documentary. Also, I want you to know about another great documentary called Awaken on Netflix about Yogananda. Turn off the news and seriously start watching some amazing documentaries. Netflix and chill, people. They're on there. And if you Netflix and chill, at least you'll look like you have some intelligence. And when we're back, Leah Black. Yeah.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you.
If you're burdened down with trouble, if your nerves are wearing thin, pack your load down the road, come to Holiday Inn.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. And yes, that was Happy Holidays. I told you, leave the room. But we have to start playing in here because literally Thanksgiving is here and there's just a radio protocol. And how we operate is very simply, it's all about the ratings. Not really, because I really don't care. But anyway, this is a fun little jingle that you might know of. Hit it, Ronnie. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and that was a little jingle that my next guest, you all know, Leah Black, was on. How you doing, Leah Black? Welcome back.
Hi. Have you missed me?
We have missed you. We've missed your energy. I see you all the time. You're always, like, so divine with social media and doing your thing and your book tour and everything. So I feel like I'm always a part of your life. And then your blog, you know, it's you're here with us always.
Oh, thank you. Always together in spirit.
We are. Speaking of, there's like a new website you've got going on. So let's talk about that because that's a great way for people to always see what's going on in the life of Leah Black.
Be connected. Well, you know, I started this silly little blog about a year or two ago, and called Leah Black Inc. INK.com, and it just took off. I got a lot of traction, and I have a lot of great writers and content and fun stuff. And then I said, you know, I've had this website forever, and people buy on it and shop on it and have fun on it, but I'm just going to take it to the next level. So I introduced about another 50 or 60 pairs of or types of jewelry, another dozen handbags, and my skincare. And I put a whole bunch of Christmas goodies on there. And I even put stuff like starting at $8 and $10 that I swear I wear myself. And people like, oh, my God, I love those earrings. I'm going, well, they're only
$10. You see? Fun. Yeah, you know what? And that's perfect timing because those are things you can stuff the stocking with, right?
Exactly. But, you know, it's really about having fun, you know? If you have fun, the rest of it follows, you know?
It does follow. It follows. And you have fun all the time. Let's talk about the fun you had recently. Just yesterday you were in Miami doing the Red Carpets and White Lies. Tell us about this journey right now with your book. How's this journey going for Leah Black?
Oh, my God. So I launched that book right before the summer, and it took off. People started actually buying it and reading it. I was, like, falling over. I was like, I'm at a lot of books to sell, and no one's going to buy them. And everybody started buying them. It's great. It's called Red Carpets and White Lies. It's also on LeahBlack.com. And Barnes & Noble's and all the stores. But I'm telling you, I went to the book fair, and I was just hilariously laughing at myself. They have, like, Tom Brokaw and, you know, Katzenbach, all these big, Dave Barry. I mean, we're talking Pulitzer Prize winner, multi-bestseller people there. And I'm in the middle of them laughing at myself like, oh, my God. They must be sitting over in a corner going, how in the hell did that dumb blonde buy into this?
Listen, call yourself what you, they can call you what they want, but Red Carpets and White Lies, they have many white lies, don't they?
Oh, yeah, true. It's down and dirty, dish the gossip fun.
They're like, this woman knows what's up and has the balls to write about them for fun, right?
I do. Well, Dave Barry gave me a great endorsement for my book, you know, but I think he was just being generous, but he really gave me a great, great endorsement. And so I was like, I don't want to let him down. I've got to make sure this book is a success. And, you know, then it was. So there you go.
Right. And then you were with Andy Cohen in the studio. So tell us about that fun time.
Well, you know, Andy has always been good to me. He's invited me on his show many more times than any of the other girls from Miami. And I think it's because, you know, I kind of have a voice of reason, and we kind of get along, and I don't know, we have fun, and I think he just is.
And because you're like the most legit of the whole crew.
Do we?
And you still have yours. And you still have yours.
Shall we say the most or the only? No, I'm kidding. That Atlanta shade. I watched part of Atlanta tonight, flipping around between the AMAs and the Atlanta House. They throw shade more and better. They are black belts at shade. I've never seen people throw more shade than them. They're hilarious, and I wish I was so
Well, listen, speaking of shade, Miami shade, we're known, you know, I'm down here in Florida too, so we're known to have some cloud coverage. So would you want to go back to California and be on Beverly Hills?
You know, the problem is my son's in school here, and he's only 14, and my husband has an office here, and I have a building and an office here. And so, you know, it'd be kind of hard, but if they did it, I mean, I do live there about, I'd say 40% of the time. So if they did it during the times that I could be there, or let's say 75% of the time, then I would commute the rest. But I couldn't live there 100% of the time. But most of those girls on the show are friends of mine. I mean, I knew most of them before they were on the show. I knew Lisa Renner before she was on the show. I knew Lisa Vanderpump before she was on the show.
Yeah.
Brandy, I think she might have just started on the show when I hang out with her and her kids. So I know, you know, most of them aside from the show. Kyle has my handbags in her store. So I do have a connection to the girls, but they haven't invited me.
All right. Well, because we have to start a petition. We'll start social media. I said that last time.
God.
You should, Andy, like, we're going to tweet Andy. Tweet Andy Cohen.
At Andy.
Right?
At
and now, but here's the thing. would you throw shade out in Beverly Hills?
Oh my God, I'd be great at the shade there because without my husband telling me, you know what I mean? It'd be a lot easier to throw the shade. Those girls are fun to play with. Here's the difference. I think our show got very dark and very ugly, and I don't think the audience likes that. I think the audience likes fun and conflict resolution, shade and fun. But the girls on our show, they did not know how to play the game. They took everything personally. They thought the more, the nastier they got and the uglier they got, the more time and attention they were going to get on the show. And then three of them literally band together, you know, to try to get me off the show, which really backfired because I became like, everyone liked me on this show because they're like, how could you put up with those girls? So, you know, I think it's the difference where, you know, like in the other shows, the girls really are rooting for each other, but they're fighting at the same time. And in our show, they were just very competitive and mean, really, and ugly, you know?
Tacky.
So that's what happened.
Tacky.
Mm.
That's why you're so successful, because you do. You know, we've met a bunch of times. I write for your blog. We're friends in the essence of life.
Yeah.
And every time, you're always gracious. You're always polite. You just have this wonderful energy about you, and it shows. You know,
I never changed who I was on the show. And that, of course, the producers don't like that. They would love for you to, they'd love it if I pulled someone's extensions out. But it's not who I am, you know. But I never did change on the show. When they come at me, I defend myself, and then I'm who I am. But I'm just not going to compromise my, you know, integrity and how I live my life for ratings on a reality show. That's not who I am. I'm not going to do it. So there you go.
But listen, I just got a text, and someone wants to know when the black ball is going to happen.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm still recovering from last year. You know, we had Aretha Franklin there.
Yes, I covered that.
That was a handful. It was amazing.
That was fun. You had Aretha Franklin, Courtney Love, our girl Gloria Estefan, get on your feet.
That's right. Amelia, they were all there.
You had a great last year.
Flo Rida showed up.
Yeah.
What's his name, that guy, Swiss Bees? All the celebrities came out because of the of Aretha and the charity, not because of me. Let's not mix it up. We know what takes to pull people in.
As a chairwoman, you did it, and without your energy, I know these things because I do them too. They don't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Nobody really wants that job, let's be honest.
Right.
Nobody wants a free, thankless job, and you have to really be passionate about it and really care about it and do it for really good reason, you won't do it. It's just too much stress, drama, you know. When people spend $500 to $5,000 a ticket, they expect a lot. And there's always someone upset about something. You can't keep everybody happy. And it's really just a lot of stress, to be honest with you.
Isn't it? But there are the bright sides. But you know what I love? And I'm sure that you get a kick out of this too. When it comes down to seating, whenever I'm doing like an event at Mar-a-Lago and I have my guest list, I love the little notes that I get from secretaries. This one is recently divorced. Please put at the other end of the ballroom.
Yeah, or this one has to be on the front row, and this one has to be on the front row, and this one has to be sitting here.
And
this one
chart?
Has to be. So, well, you know what I started doing is I'm like, you know what? People that pay the most get the front row. The people that pay the second most get the next row.
Yeah,
and then I put Roy in the very back of the room because I don't sit down, you know. And I'm like, if anybody can complain, I said, look, my husband has the, like, table number 92.
See,
so
clever.
How are you complaining? you know, I don't even have a seat. I sold my seat at the door.
And
so
he's right by the kitchen door, right? That kitchen door table is my favorite. I reserve that for volunteers.
Well, you know, the funny thing is when I go to an event, I like sitting in the back of the room because if I want to get up and go to the restroom or go check out my emails or sneak out early, no one notices. Yeah. When you're sitting right up front, you can't really do that, you know?
It
I never got the whole thing about the pecking order. Just call me... I don't care.
No, listen, I hear you. We're doing, actually, you should come. We're doing a huge event at Mar-a-Lago. I'm one of the vice chairs for the Arc of Palm Beach.
And didn't you tell me that's in March during spring break?
It's March 18th. So if you're
Let
around,
me look.
It'll be fun.
I'll tell you right now. Well, I don't have my thing.
The cowboy ball. So guys wear cowboy.
I'm from Texas. Yeehaw! Should I get my guitar and sing?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're trying to get Tanya Tucker to sing, so it's going to be crazy.
Oh yeah, I love her. I used to hang out with her at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth.
You see?
Oh my God, what's that song? Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah, we love Tanya Tucker.
Fabulous.
So men wear cowboy boots and jeans, and women wear ball gowns.
Yeah.
It's boots and ball gowns.
Oh, the women are wearing ball gowns? Well, I may come as a guy dressed in drag in my jeans.
There you go.
You've got to get her. She's fabulous.
She's great. Well, I had her, you know, I have my TV show down here, Eye on the People, and I was interviewing Ron Bergeron. And Tanya Tucker, was staying at his ranch out west, and the two of us had the best time rolling around in like these gold-plated Hummers. It was crazy.
Oh my God! If I'm not on spring break with my son in LA, I'll go. You know, she is just the cutest thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, when I die, just send me on to Texas.
Sing it.
It's hilarious. I love her. I knew every word to every song she ever sang back then.
Yes.
Because I lived in Dallas, you know, for a long time, and she was there a lot.
Yeah. Well, listen, you've got a lot going on, and we've got to talk about your website, and we also have to talk about, you have like a, it's not new because you've had it, but your cosmetic line and your creams, and tell us about that whole beauty industry that you're a part of.
I started in the beauty business in the 80s, long before I met Roy, and was very, very successful at it at one time. And then when I got married, I got off the roller coaster, and then I had my kid. Then when he started going to school, I kind of got bored again. So I started it up again under the same brand, the same line, the same formulas. And it's amazing. It's the only product I've used since 1984 on my face. My grandmother will be 100 years old on December the 5th, and I swear she doesn't have a wrinkle on her face. And it's because of our sudden use line. It really works, and it's a very affordable. You can buy a kit for $95, 8 facials that you can give yourself at home once a week, and Bones firms, tightens, and really, really works. And I have all the other stuff, too.
Yes, who doesn't love a facial at home, right?
Oh, my God. Well, if you go to the store, you're going to spend $100 or a salon for one, and you get mine $95, you get 8 of them, you do it 20 minutes, and you're done, showered off, you know?
There you go.
But and then I have the other stuff, that, you know, the daily stuff, too, the washes and all that. But that's the number one hook that I've had all the years. It's really sustained, you know, the business.
Yes. 8 facials so in one box, right? The handbags are great. I love
the
you.
Handbag.
I love those big envelope bags you do. They're just so.
I know. Your mom loved them, too.
Your mom,
let's admit, she does have exquisite taste, doesn't she?
She sure does.
I think if anybody knows a quality, fabulous design, it would be her.
Right? And she was like, oh, you know what? You just reminded me. And it's crazy. Isn't it crazy we're playing holiday songs? But, like, I have to start thinking about gifts now. So that actually, you know what? I think you just inspired me.
Yes.
That works.
I need everybody to go on leahblack.com. And here's the deal. If you like friends that like Gossip Housewives and Jackie Collins scandalous type stuff, which, by the way, page 6 says I'm the next Jackie Collins. Did you read that? I almost fell on the floor. My husband read it. I don't even read page 6. And then I'm on Leah Black Inc. You can start from $8 to $10 and get everything, you know, all kinds of jewelry. It's all costume, of course. And then you've got the handbags and you've got the skincare. So there's something there for everybody. Give my book. If you own a business and you have 100 employees, order 100 of my books and give them all a gossip day.
You see, let me tell you something. This is why you're successful. This is why the book's successful, because you have to promote. You always have to promote, and you do, and you know what? You're fun about it, and it's adorable, and you have a great passion. No, I love it. I
have no shame. It's like, why? How do you think I picked those pockets for that charity?
Exactly.
Go in there and pick those pockets. Those rich guys can afford to help these poor kids. You know.
So when is the next event for you that you're hosting?
Always have had it in March or April, but then last year we had to have it in November or October because of Aretha and the scheduling. But we wait till we get the talent. You know, once we book the talent, we start booking everything around it. You know, I've got my eyes on a few people and some plate spinning, but let me tell you, in 20 years of doing that charity, I've only paid for talent twice. So I wait until I can't get somebody for free, and then I'll start dollars for sponsors to pay for somebody. So we work the talent first, and once we get that, if we build a gala around it.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. Yeah. And they're fun. You throw a good party, girl.
We really at the party. You know, these gals are all speeches, awards, and all of that, and afraid to say much, and they're quiet. And this is just one big get drunk party. Get a driver. Right. Call Uber.
Call Uber. Exactly. Yeah. Call Uber. But no, LeahBlack.com is up and running. It's revamped. You've used your cream on it, so it's all redone.
Oh, my God. It's just fabulous. You're going to love it.
So I've got to ask you, because we have a great tweet here, and someone wants to know, what is one of your biggest white lies?
Oh, that's a great question. My biggest white lies. I used to be really good about white lying, about I couldn't go somewhere or do something. Because, you know, I had my kid at home. Mm-hmm. And then I just decided to tell the truth. I just don't want to go. Basically, that would have been my traditional big white lie. But, of course, I've told a few white lies to my husband. I drag out a fabulous diamond ring, and he goes, ah. And I'm like, honey, this has been in the safe for years. I'm good at those white lies, you know? But I think the less you tell them, the better. And by the way, I make sure I put it in the safe for at least a little bit before I put it out with dust on it.
What are some of the worst red carpets you've walked on?
Oh, my God. The ones to me that make me cringe are when these brought up there with their TNA and doing the fees and, you know, trying to be fabulous and important, and I just cringe for them. I just cringe for them because nobody cares. So when I go to a red carpet, I get on it and I get off it, and I only get on it if I'm really invited to be on it. And then I say to the person five times, listen, I don't have to be on this. I'm going to do this for you. I don't want to do it necessarily for, it's not really for me. So please don't feel embarrassed by telling me, no, we don't want you on it. You know, we got 20 A-listers and you're like a Z-lister. So I look at it like that. But those would be the worst ones for me, is when you just cringe watching these people just starving to get on it, and it's just awful. You feel embarrassed for them. Just so they can get a selfie and post it and say they walked a red carpet, you know, at the opening of a funeral home. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Those are the bad ones.
That's fun.
Oh, my God.
Leah Black. But so Leah Black, I know I have to contribute to my blog on your page too. It's been a minute, but
yes, it's better get with it.
You know what? I'll do one for the holidays. A great. What are your favorite perfect. Things for the holidays, by the way? Like for people.
My favorite what?
Your favorite things of the year, of this year.
Oh, you mean for gifts? Like gifts or you know, I think it's always appropriate to give, you know, really good quality chocolate, you know, some great chocolate lines out there. It's always appropriate to give champagne. You know, for my girlfriends, I always think they like things like, you know, costume jewelry or little coin purses or bangles.
AnythingLeahBlack.com.
But women like that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, my husband always likes to give good books to people. And so I said, you can continue to give, like, what is it, Taming of the Shrew and Atlas Shrugged and Anne Ryan, and just put mine in there with it.
That's how you do it.
Your intellectual friends. They take a day off from being smart and just be fun and dumb and gossipy. So I don't know. I have to pick my favorite things. Honestly, my favorite things are the things that I already have. And then my kid. If my kid's not happy or my husband's not happy, I'm not happy. So
Mama ain't happy,
Yeah.
And if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Well, my husband is very smart, and he learned that really fast. Like, if my wife is not happy, I'm not going to be happy. She's going to win the argument every time. So, therefore, just say yes, honey, and shake your head yes, and move on. And then we're done. That's how it works.
And you know what? Unfortunately, our time is running out here. So I have to say that this interview is going to be done. But they're telling me wrap it up. So Leah Black, I have to wrap it up.
Okay.
But I'm so happy that you're here with me on Max and Friends. You know, seriously, everyone, go to LeahBlack.com. Buy the book. Buy the merchandise. Stuff your stockings with Leah's stuff, right?
And 100% I'm going to be, if I'm in Florida on the 18th of March, I will come to your event. And
right.
if you don't get that talent, let me know. You know, I do have John Rich's email address. I could give that to you. I'm thinking
right.
of country people I know.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to talk after the show. I'll tweet you.
Okay, buddy.
But keep up your great work. Keep, you know, just having fun because that's what you do. But before
have
I let you go.
Fun.
There, I was going to ask you for something inspiring, and you got it. Have fun, right?
Have fun. That's it.
Have
Isn't
fun.
It, isn't that all it is? Everything can change in a day.
It's the truth. Well, we have fun with you every time you're here on Max and Friends, Leah Black. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a beautiful night. Talk
you
to you soon.
You too. Big kiss.
Bye. Okay. Leah Black was with us. I love Leah Black. Isn't she a hoot? She's fun. She was throwing some shade on her girls of Miami. You know what? They needed that. I would love to see Leah Black on Beverly Hills, throwing some shade over there. Well, Eve Newhouse is going to join me, and I'm going to talk to you about my dream with Martha Stewart and Baba Ganesh? Baba Ganoush? Who? Ganesh Baba, I heard. But right now, Ganesh on Max and Friends. We'll be right back. Play Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome to Max and Friends. Tweet me at Max Tucci. I'm glad you joined us. Namaste. Well, my next guest, literally, I found because of a dream. I had a dream. I really did. I had a dream. Martha Stewart, who visits me often in my dreams, we were talking, and this is Eve laughing because this is a true story, and this is how we connected. And I had woke up from my dream because Martha Stewart in my dream was saying, like, Baba Ganoush. I'm like, what are we making? She's like, no, Baba Ganoush. I'm like, what? She's like, no, Ganesh Baba. I'm like, what? A loud, crystal clear Martha Stewart telling me about some guru, okay? So I was like, I woke up from this dream, and literally my ears were still ringing with Ganesh Baba. So I do a quick research. I'm online. It's like 7:04 in the morning. I have one eye open because that's not my waking hour. And the next thing you know, I see a book called The Crazy Wisdom of Ganesh Baba. So right away I was like, okay, who is this? Why is this happening? And here's Eve Newhouse on Max and Friends. Welcome.
That is so funny. Do you know where I got that first text from you when you first found me? I was in Istanbul, and we were on the top of this really, really high hill in this ancient community. And then my phone dings. And it's a text from you asking me, telling me about this dream. I couldn't believe it. I hadn't gotten a text the whole 2 months we were out of the country.
And right, and here you are.
And right through.
It wasn't me.
And here
I'm
I
telling
am.
You. It's Ganesh Baba. And what I love about Ganesh Baba is that I don't know him from Adam or Eve. But what I do know is that I'm supposed to know of him,
apparently,
know of you, know of all of this, because it's not once in a dream. It's like occasional now where this really fun man, and you knew him, you walked with him, with this really fuzzy beard, with these really groovy knit sweaters and orange pants and like grooviness and all this stuff.
That's the guy.
Now, who was he? Why was he so important? And why am I getting Martha Stewart telling me about him in my dreams?
I think it's because he was so incredibly ahead of his time. He died in 1987 when he was, I don't know, maybe 100, something like that. And he still has his message to send. So that's why you're hearing from him. He's knocking on your door.
And
he knocked on my door in 1979 for the first time. I was not looking for a guru. You know that story. And here comes one knocking on my door.
It's so bizarre.
And it was instant love for me.
I'm sure. Well, now,
so
tell us about the book. Tell us about the book, The Crazy Wisdom of Ganesh Baba, and why you're the one that wrote it.
Well, the book came out in 2010, and it took me about 3 years to actually write it before that. And before that, for 30 years, it sat underneath my altar as a manuscript. Because Ganesh Baba had been given 3 manuscripts by his teacher, Tripura Devasharma, and he had modernized and translated into English and sort of made his own system out of the teachings, the yoga teachings that were in those books. Mm-hmm. And he had produced 3 manuscripts himself. And then he gave me and a lot of other people copies of those 3 manuscripts. And he said, it's your responsibility to rewrite these things, edit them, modernize them, make it something that's relevant to the world. So I sat on it for 30 years. And then he started coming in my dreams, and it was time to do the work.
And here you are now.
So I spent about 3 years in the early 2000s. The book was originally called Sadhana, which means practice. So I had to do the practice, the yoga practice, because Ganesh Baba is a Kriya Yogi. He's first cousin to Yogananda in lineage. Mm. So his guru's guru was the same as Yogananda's guru's guru, Lahiri Mahasaya.
Mm.
So that Kriya Yoga, it just had to get out again. It doesn't want to stay in the box. It wants to get out into the world.
And here we are telling the world about the Kriya Yoga. Now, tell me a little bit about Baba's story and lineage.
Okay, so he's Bengali. He was a British gentleman in the Raj period, like in the 1920s and 1930s. I think he probably was a civil servant. He used to tell all kinds of stories about being incredibly rich and famous and owning chains of movie theaters and being a lawyer and owning cinema companies and things like that. But I don't know if those were true at all. Anyway, he was part of that sort of British India scene in the 20s and 30s in Calcutta. And then when he was probably in his 50s, he had a vision of Yogananda, and he jumped out of his limousine, as he used to tell us, and he followed Yogananda through the crowded streets of Calcutta, lost him, but that was it. After that, he renounced everything. He renounced all his riches, his chain of cinemas, et cetera, et cetera, and he became a yogi. And he went first to the Kriya teachers, the Kriya yoga teachers, who were around Calcutta at the time, and who were his family lineage, because he tells a story also that he was first initiated by Lahiri Mahasaya himself when Ganesh Baba was 3 or 4 years old and was dying of cholera, and Lahiri came and brought him back to life, and that was his first initiation. So then he went to other Kriya Yoga teachers and became very accomplished, then went to Swami Shivananda, where he stayed for quite a long time. And following that, he was the manager of Anandamayi Ma's ashram in Benares, which was a huge operation in those days. She was the biggest guru in India for a long time, and he was managing her ashram, hundreds of people for meals and so forth. And in that period, he got attracted to the wandering Nagababas, the sadhus who walk in the streets in India with the dreadlocks and the ash covered, this whole thing. So he started going out into the woods, into the forest, and sitting around their fires, their dunis, and smoking charas, smoking dope with them.
Okay, now and I want to talk about that, because that's really a big part of the psychedelic sadhana and the combination of kira yoga and smoking some good old weed.
It is a combination of that, absolutely. Can't deny it.
Now, I see here a very an awesome question, actually. And what advice did he give about smoking pot and taking other psychedelics?
Well, he told us that it was a good thing. He made a spectrum of all the consciousness-altering substances, and alcohol was on one end, and psychedelics were on the other. Psychedelics raise you up, alcohol lowers you down. So what he said was that, first of all, you shouldn't smoke dope until you're an old person, because it's not good for when you have your regular work to do in the world. So you shouldn't smoke dope at all until you're, like, retired. But he didn't stick to that. He would say, you know, you shouldn't smoke until you retire, but since you're smoking anyway, let me tell you how to do it. So the most important thing is to keep your back straight and to breathe properly when you're smoking dope. Because if you don't do those two things, if you don't keep your back straight and you don't breathe properly, you're not getting enough, you're getting mixed up signals, because your back is like your antenna. And it gets the wrong messages if it's not straight. And then if you're not breathing right, you don't have enough oxygen in your brain to interpret things and to use the experience positively. So the advice is sit up straight, breathe deep.
And so now this is basic yoga practice for cannabis users, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
and
it
since,
is.
Since it's becoming legal in Colorado and Washington and Connecticut, like, do it right. If you're going to do it, sit up
straight.
That's right.
And use it for medication, because he would say that the purpose of this kind of drug was to show you what meditation can do. So you get there with yoga and meditation, and you already have a vision of it because you were high.
Okay. Listen, you know what?
It moves you along further.
This is what I tell my niece. She's 13 years old. I'm like, don't smoke weed because you're going to love it. Like, wait till you're older to do it. I've always said that.
Right.
Like, wait till you're older so that you can enjoy it and really just, like, have fun with it.
Right.
And, you know, control it. Don't let it control you. I guess I legally have
to say
that. That's
right. and And I think that kids shouldn't smoke because their brains aren't formed enough.
Yeah, wait.
I think you need to be, I don't know that you need to be retired, but I'd say it's a good idea to be 18 or 20.
I agree.
Something like that.
Yeah, wait till you're like, you know, and do it right. That's my thing.
That's
like,
right.
Don't be
That's
cheap
right.
about
and
it.
Sit up straight.
Yes,
That's right.
I love this.
And breathe.
I love this Eve new house. Right. I love this. Yeah. All right. If you're listening for the first time, what is everyone listening to here on LA Talk Radio? Hit it. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. My guest is Eve Newhouse. Go to EveNEUHAUS.com. That's our current blog. There's many books going on in your life, Eve, and this isn't the only one. I'm so excited that you're here, and I just love that there's a basic yoga practice for people who smoke weed. Y'all need to tune in. Did you hear me? And go right now on Twitter and follow Ganesh Baba, follow Eve Newhouse, have fun there. But listen, I want to talk about you for a couple of moments, but before we get there, does Ganesh Baba have a center somewhere?
He doesn't really. He really didn't encourage followers at all. In France, there is a place called Centre Tripura that he named and that he was the first guru of those people who are there, who are my guru brother and sisters. And it's in a beautiful, beautiful 15th century chateau in Vendée, not too far from La Rochelle. They have kinds of yoga and stuff there, and they are almost the only place in the world that actually teaches Ganesh Baba's system.
I love it. And now what do they teach? Yoga and weed?
No, actually they don't. That's you can't. France is you really can't do that in France.
No, not yet. But you could do it in Colorado.
Not yet. But you can do it in Colorado, and you can talk about it in California.
Exactly, right? But no, and I just think that if there's a new way to do it and it enlightens you, do it, have fun. But listen, I could talk about yoga and weed all night long, so let's just skip that and let's go into creativity and karma yoga. Here's the thing, Eve, you're going to come back on Max and Friends because we've got a lot to cover and I want to talk about your books and I want to talk about yoga with you some more and of course more about Ganesh Baba, but I had to let everybody, you know, I had to open the door slightly to who he was.
You bet.
Right?
You bet.
So, but tell me about creativity and karma yoga and why it plays a something in your life.
When in the period that Ganesh Baba lived with us in upstate New York from 1970 to 1981, we were all hapless hippies, as he would call us. And eventually he said, you know, you have to go back to school. One by one, he picked us off and sent, and one became a psychiatrist and one became a physical therapist. And my closest friend, Roxanne, finished her PhD. And he told me that I should go and study creativity. So I went to study, do a master's in creativity to teach children how to nurture creativity and things like that. Never finished it because having Ganesh Baba in your life, things are so crazy. He's like, you know, he's breaking down obstacles. He's putting up obstacles. He's naga bashing you, taking your ego into tearing it into shreds. And my whole life fell apart in the middle of that. And at that point, somewhere along the way, he said to me, you know, you really don't have to do all these practices that I'm telling some people, that they have to be extreme vegetarians and that they have to practice Kriya for so many hours a day. He said, you know, your thing really is karma yoga. And I was really hurt at the time. I was about maybe 28 or 30 years old. And I didn't want to be told that I wasn't his student in terms of yoga. But later, not pretty close to then, actually, I realized that that was a great compliment. And what he was saying was that I was supposed to be dedicating my life to service and creativity instead of to doing the practices. So I did. So I went out and I taught school for lots of years, and now we have a chocolate shop. And really, my whole life has been about doing, you know, getting good karma by doing service.
Yes, and you know, we always say on Max and Friends, when the show has to end, good night and good karma, which we're going to have to say in just a moment because we have to wrap the show up. But you also have the book, Journey to Mythica. So we've got still so much to talk about, but I wanted to throw that book out there because I want people to go look it up, enjoy it, enjoy you. figure out, yep, everyone, who Ganesh Baba is, because there's a lot of stuff on the information on the internet. The book is called The Crazy Wisdom of Ganesh Baba. Get it, figure it out, enjoy it, sit up, smoke weed, inhale, exhale. Eve Newhouse, I thank you so much for joining me on Max and Friends.
You're welcome.
I'm
going
to talk to you
fun
after the show. So, and then we'll have you back maybe next Sunday. I think we have some room for you. But I thank you so much for joining me. Leah Black, thank you for being here on Max and Friends. Good night. Good karma. Take life to the max. And remember, everyone, you are here not to shrink down to less, but to blossom into more of who you really are. And sometimes who you really are is when you're stripped of everything you have. And then look yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. Have a great week. I'm off to Colorado because Thanksgiving is this Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Love you all for listening. I'm Max Tucci from Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Good night and good karma.